Good morning. It's good to be able to come together this morning to worship God. And in the scripture reading that we just had there in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 through 30, God says that sometimes people will reject His counsel and His wisdom. And we're going to study this morning about Rehoboam. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 12, we're going to study about a young king who refused wise counsel. He would rather just listen to peer pressure. He'd rather just go along with the people that he grew up with. And he didn't want to listen to the old folks. And we really have a situation like that in our climate and in our society today and in our world. We just want to go along with what our friends tell us or what we've been thinking, you know. And the old people are old people, you know. And they are what they are, and we just don't need to be listening to them. And so this morning I want us to look at the study of Rehoboam. Appreciate Larry teaching our class on Kings, and there's a lot of material here, and there's certainly no time to cover all of it in our class period. There are just so many lessons, and even in this sermon, we're just touching the hem of the garment. There's just so much to study from these kings, but we hope both in our class and in a lesson like this that we can touch on some things that will help us, but we certainly understand that there's much more material here to be covered, and hopefully in our own personal study and reading, we can read about those other kinds of things. When you turn to 1 Kings chapter 12, of course, you read about the story of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, who was the first king of Judah in what became known as the divided kingdom. There would be a kingdom of Israel, and there would be a kingdom of Judah. And Rehoboam would be the first king of Judah, and Jeroboam would be the first king of Israel. And when we read about this king, we read about a king whom I'm going to describe as the king of peer pressure, because it really boils down to a man who made a judgment based upon what his friends told him to do. And he forsook the counsel of the old men. And so I asked David if he would read from Proverbs 1 about the counsel, where God said, "You've rejected my counsel." Do we get counsel before we make decisions? Do we talk with others that are wise, or do we just sort of strike out on our own? And we've got something in our mind that we want to do, but we really don't want to take the time to consult somebody else. It really is a lesson in the importance of wise counsel, and even more importantly than that, counsel from God. When you turn to 1 Kings 12, of course, the parallel account is in 2 Chronicles 10 through 12. You find that Rehoboam was the first king of Judah in this divided kingdom. And I want us to read a passage of Scripture here this morning by way of introduction to our lesson. If you'll turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 12, we're going to read verses 6 down through verse 19. This king was known for dividing the kingdom. Can you imagine that being laid on your shoulders? Can you imagine going down in the record book of God's Word as being the king that divided Israel? And he did so because he followed just his peers. We've got to ask ourselves, do we give in to peer pressure? We think we associate peer pressure with just the young people. All of us can be guilty of just following what someone else around us tells us rather than God's Word. But he's known as the king who divided the kingdom by following wise counsel, unwise counsel. Let's read verse 6. "And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father." You see, the people had come to him, including Jeroboam, which is kind of interesting, who would become the first king of Israel. The people come to him and they say, you know, "Can you make our load lighter?" And so Rehoboam says, "Well, give me 3 days to think about it." And we give the man credit for that. That's not the problem. The problem is, who do you go to get your counsel? He started off great. "Give me 3 days to think about this." And we really do need to take some time before important decisions. What job are we going to get? Can we still faithfully serve the Lord? Who are we going to marry? Are they going to help us get to heaven or take us away? We need to take time to think about important decisions in life. And take some time to do that and not rush into that. And so we give the man credit for that. Verse 5, he wanted to take some time to think about it. The problem was that in giving time to think about it, he rejected those who had wise counsel, those who were older. So in verse 6, he talked to the older men, "What counsel give you? And return answer to this people. And they spake to him, saying, If you will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. These are men who had been in the business of running a kingdom. These are not stupid men. These are men who had been doing this for years. Some of them, no doubt, under the rule and reign of Rehoboam's own father. These are men who know from practical daily experience that if you'll serve the people and if you'll work with them, then this will be a good thing. They're not just tossing out something on a whim and, well, we've got to answer this young man, so let's just tell him something. It's based upon age and wisdom and actually going through the same things that a person is going through. It's not theory. It's not hypothetical. It's not just something drawn out on paper. This is something that has been lived through. And so that's the counsel that they gave him. Verse 9. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye, that you may return answer? I'm sorry, verse 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him. We don't need what those old guys say. And took counsel with the young men. Now look at this. That were grown up with him. Hence the idea of peer pressure. These are my peers. These are those we've grown up. And I knew old Joe since I was a teenager, you see. And we've been out buddy, and we've been palling around, and you know, we've been talking a little bit. And they tell me something different. So I'm just going to go with those guys that I hang out with, and those guys maybe that I've worked with, or we went to school together, or we've hung out, we've been talking, you see. Well, that may not be a good thing, as we're going to see in this lesson. So it's not just taking counsel from the young men, but those that were grown up with him that stood before him. Who's giving us advice in life? You ever stop to think about that? Where are you getting your advice? From whom are you getting your advice? Verse 9. And they said, let's return answer, make the yoke that thy father did put upon us lighter. And the young men that were grown up with him, verse 10, said, Thou shalt speak unto this people that spake unto thee. Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter. Thus you shall say unto them, My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. With this little finger, I'm going to even make it harder on you. And now, whereas my father did lay upon you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. The statement is repeated again, and the story is rehearsed again. So on the third day, Rehoboam tells the people, come down to verse 16, and when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we an inheritance in the son of Israel. To our tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. And the kingdom splits. So Israel departed into their tents. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the men, subject to taskwork. And all Israel stoned him to death with stones. And the king Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So all Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was returned, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. So now we have two kingdoms and two kings. And why? Because I'm going to listen to the young men that grew up with me. I'm not going to listen to those old fogies. They don't know what they're talking about. They're old. And so I want to talk this morning about the importance of not just peer pressure, but the importance of our source of counsel. Who's giving us advice as we grow up? Who is giving us advice in the church and in our personal lives and in other areas? We don't have time this morning to look at some of these other matters, but you'll notice that it wasn't just this matter of dividing the kingdom, but we find that Judah was evil with idolatry. If you have a leader that is not acting upon wise counsel, there'll be a domino effect. There'll be other problems in your life. We need to understand the importance of listening to those who are older and wiser and cut back the pride a little bit. I know what I'm talking about. Just cut that back a little bit and be patient and talk with others and learn from others. I've been there before where, you know, you're young and, well, I'm not going to listen to mom and dad, and I'm not going to listen to some older member of the church or that type of thing. But notice that idolatry and sodomy and all kinds of abomination went on. If we're not going to turn to God and follow God's counsel, there'll be a domino effect. There'll be other problems in our life. We don't have each of these points is an entire lesson. He fortified Judah, and he wanted to be strong physically, but he was weak spiritually. And so we find in 2 Chronicles 11, when you look at the parallel account, that Rehoboam mixed idolatrous religion with true religion. He worshipped with the calves, but he also worshipped in Jerusalem. You see, when you don't want to follow wise counsel, that's not just one little area of your life that's going to break down and be a problem. There'll be other areas as well. Do you remember that scripture reading that Dave had there in Proverbs 1? What did wisdom is speaking like a woman, personified as a woman. You would not hear me, she says. God's wisdom. God is speaking, of course. But do you remember the verse there that says, when the storm comes and when the whirlwind comes, I won't be there to help you. Do you think that divided kingdom was a storm and all of this sin was a whirlwind? Absolutely. So I'm not going to listen to those old people, and then we get ourselves into a problem. And God is saying, well, you know, you didn't want me then, and you're not going to have me now. And so we've got to be careful about that. So look at these other kinds of things that are coming into this story when we find that somebody just doesn't want to listen to what is right. He had multiple wives and concubines, 2 Chronicles 11. He grew stronger, but the text says physically, and he fortified the cities, and he rebuilt the cities, and he built shields, and he's strong, but he forsook the Lord. For an occasion there, he humbled himself and wanted to come back, but we find that even though he did that toward the end of his life, the text says that he did that which was evil and did not set his heart to seek the Lord. And so this morning, I want us to talk about this matter of a young king who just doesn't want to listen to the old people. You know, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1 in that scripture reading. Notice earlier in the text something that goes along with this morning's lesson. We find it's not just a matter of I don't want to listen to counsel, but if you look at earlier in the chapter, verse 10, and we're going to come to this later in the lesson, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us. It's also a matter of peer pressure. It's not just a matter of I don't want to listen to old folks. It's also, I don't want to listen to them, and I also just want to go along with the folks that are around me. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1, the whole purpose of God's wisdom, look at this, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern, that is, decide right and wrong, the words of understanding, to receive instruction in wise dealing, and that's not just in the church, but all areas of our life. In righteousness and justice and equity. To give prudence to the simple. That's the person who doesn't know a lot about a given situation. Counsel can help them come up to speed and know what to do on that. Otherwise, we rush in and we foolishly hurt ourselves in some way. To the young man, look at it, verse 4, knowledge and discretion. It's going to help us not make the same mistakes that other individuals have made. It's going to help us not to go down those wrong paths that others have gone down. And often, verse 4, when we're young, we can benefit and help from that if we will only go to the wise and those who are older. Of course, at the end of the story, we're told that he warred with Jeroboam continually. So there are other things, the idolatry and the multiple wives and not setting his heart to seek the Lord. There are other ramifications other than just a divided kingdom that came from this approach. Hey guys, just kind of tell me what to do. You know, we grew up together, we hung out together, and I'm not going to listen to those old men. And so this morning, let's talk a little bit about the king of peer pressure. First of all, let's turn back to 1 Kings chapter 8. I want to know some lessons that come from the text for our admonition this morning. And I speak from personal experience, sadly to say. I think all of us who are a little bit older can look back at our life and we can see times when we were younger. And because of the pride and because of the impatience, you know, we don't have time for this extra information. We're going to strike out on our own. I've been there, and admittedly, it doesn't turn out well. And so we've got to learn from this story. First of all, we find that he didn't want the old ways. You know, one thing that I'm hearing in the church today is, you know, we don't need the old church of Christ. We don't need the Church of Christ or of our parents or our grandparents. We need a refangled church. We need a newer church. Just when I was in this gospel meeting this past week or so, the local preacher there, we had a Bible discussion during that time period, and he was giving me some material about another congregation in another state where he used to preach, but he left about 7 years ago. Now it's got this young, dynamic preacher, and the elders wanted a young, dynamic preacher to come in. And so when Brother Evans left, they got this young, dynamic preacher in, and now the report is that they don't want the old way of establishing Bible authority. They don't want the old way of going back to book, chapter, and verse in the book of Acts as a pattern. And so this individual has written on the internet where you can read about where the book of Acts is not a pattern anymore. It's just a story. It's just a narrative of how Christians did some things, but it's not necessarily a pattern for us today, such as Acts 20:7, the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. See, that's the old way. That's old school. And we really haven't been reading the book of Acts the right way. It's just a narrative of how some things happened, but it's not necessarily formative and pattern for us today. So, you know, we don't need that old thing. Listen to me. It is taking churches away from the truth and the faith. And this older preacher is saddened and sickened by it. And he had put over 20 years of work and the Lord's work in with this congregation, and it's taken down the drain just like that with a young guy that comes in and says, well, we don't need the old ways. And then I've been home a few days, and this brother sent me another email just a few miles away in Louisiana. It's the same thing going on in another congregation. They got this young, dynamic speaker in, and he's got an article how that the book of Acts is no longer a pattern for us. That was the old way of looking at it. We've got to be careful about this approach. So when the old men come, verse 8, he forsook the counsel of the old men. I want you to think, we're going to talk about counsel in just a moment, but I just want you to think about this concept of, well, the old fogies, they don't know anything. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, come back to the old paths, Jeremiah says. Listen, if it's 2,000 years old, the New Testament church, then it's old, yeah. And we need to go all the way back there. And we don't need to go back somewhere short of that. We don't need to be going beyond that. We need to go back to the old paths. Seek out and search out the old paths. Listen, wherein is the good way? That's where the good way is. No. We're that old stuff. The good. And so, young, dynamic, and we're growing. You know what? He told me, he said that right toward the end of his tenure with this other congregation, he'd been there over 20 years, he said the elders called him into the office one day and said, could you not preach anything anymore on Sunday morning? Could you just every Sunday morning, could you just simply talk a few minutes about the Lord's Supper? We don't want any more preaching on Sunday morning. They said, that's the old way. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. He just left. I'm not going to do that. It's this idea that we've got to get people in. And that doesn't get people in. Now, a little talk about the Lord's Supper from the preacher every Sunday morning, that's a lot lighter. It would keep the service a lot shorter, and we could keep these people in. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, it wasn't long until he left. We're like Acts 17, where in the city of Athens, Acts 17:21, when Paul went there, they gathered together on Mars here to hear some new thing. So let's get a young, dynamic preacher in. We can hear some new things. The book of Acts is just a story. It's not a pattern. Listen, do you know what the book of Acts is? From Acts 13 to the end of the book, much of it is about the Apostle Paul. Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. This is foolishness, brethren, that the book of Acts and other portions of Scripture are not a pattern. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Do you remember that Paul was in the city of Philippi in Acts chapter 16? So here we go, book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. He's in the city, and we're told in Acts 16, Luke tells us what he did there in Philippi. But Paul tells us what should be the use of all of that. What is the use of all of that story in the book of Acts about the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. It's an apostolic pattern. When Luke recorded Paul's actions in Philippi in Acts 16, he wasn't just telling a story. He was recording what should be followed. Paul said, you saw this, you heard this, you received it, these things do. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the pattern of sound words. He didn't want the old ways, and we're hearing more and more about that today. Well, that's just the old way of doing things. Now, listen, if we're talking about three songs and a prayer, or padded pews, or going from a marker board to PowerPoint, obviously we're talking about expediencies where we change and do this or that. But when somebody says we don't need to go back and look at the book of Acts as a pattern, that's not just an expedient thing. They're altering the Word of God, what the Word of God says about itself. This is something that is to be followed. Number two. He was not interested in the older, wiser counsel. And let's look at a few examples of that. The text says that he forsook the counsel of the old men and took counsel with the young men that were grown up with him that stood before him. Let's look at a few examples of that. Listen, when I was young, I didn't want to listen to what Mom and Dad said. Let's make some practical application here. Young people here this morning, do you listen to your Mom and Dad? Turn with me to Proverbs and let's look at a few passages. Do we just stop and listen to what they're saying? Do we seek their advice? Do we want their advice? Or do we run from that? Or do we care anything about it? My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be a chaplet of grace upon thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Do you see that the contrast? Here you have Mom and Dad trying to help me out, and it would be like a chain of grace around my neck. But then if sinners entice thee, don't go with them. We've got to listen. Look with me at chapter 6 and verse 20. They've been around the block. They've experienced the exact same thing you're going through on that day. Why not get some counsel from them on that very exact thing? Chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep the commandment of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou walkest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall watch over thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Wow. But no, I don't have time for those old people. Turn with me to chapter 23 and verse 22. There are a lot of young people who just simply will not listen to Mom and Dad. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, yea, wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child will have joy of him. Let thy father and thy mother be glad, and let her that bear thee rejoice. Look at the very next verse. My son, give me thy heart, and let thine eyes delight in my ways. Listen to Mom and Dad. Look at chapter 30 and verse 11. There is a generation that cursed their father and blessed not their mother. That was in the days of Solomon, and it's still going on today. There is a generation that cursed their father and blessed not their mother. Many young people today are not interested in listening to older, wiser parents. Some are not interested in listening to older, wiser Christians. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. The word elder in this verse means the older men, the older members, and we are to be subject to them. Have you ever thought about this in a local congregational setting? I've seen this happen in other congregations in different situations. If we're not careful, we're just simply going to dismiss what the older brethren are doing. I've been in situations before where there's been some weak brethren, and they don't like some things that are going on, maybe in the leadership or somewhere else. And you know who they go run and talk to? They go run and talk to the other weak brethren. They never go and talk to the wiser brethren, the older brethren. They go talk with the other weak brethren, and then it just gets out of hand. Listen, there are brethren who are older who are here every time the door is open. They don't make excuses. They work all the time. Their attendance is faithful. They volunteer to serve. They volunteer to work. They have a good track record with their family and with their marriage. Listen, you go talk with them and get some advice from them and take what they say very seriously when you're trying to make a decision about something in the local church. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, younger, be subject unto the elder. Now, earlier in the chapter, he's talking about the elders. Here he's talking about just those that are older. Gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. Turn back with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. It amazes me that sometimes we will make decisions and we will not take into account the judgments of older, wiser brethren who have been in the ballgame, so to speak, all their life. They've got a good track record of faithfulness and service. What are they saying? Listen to them. We need to do that. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1, rebuke not an elder. This is not the elders in the church. This is older members. Rebuke not an elder, but exhort him as a father, the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers. In other words, show some respect and listen to what they're saying. A lot of times, there have been situations in men's business meetings and other situations where the word of a teenage Christian who's been a Christian just maybe a year or two, their word is on equal standing as someone who's been in the church 20, 30, 40 years. And if that young person is going against some things that an older person say, well, their judgment is just as valid. No, no. What about these older, wiser brethren who have been around the block multiple times and they're faithful in their service? Listen to what they're saying. What about older, wiser preachers? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. I've learned from older, wiser preachers. When I first started preaching, I learned from them. I was set straight by some of them. I was helped by them. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, we would say, of course, that Paul is appealing to his apostolic authority, and we don't have apostles today. But Paul is also appealing to young Timothy as an older preacher. But follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecution, suffering, what things befell me at Antioch, and so forth. He wants him to follow that. And then turn with me to chapter 4 and verse 5. Suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry, for I am already being offered, and the time of my departure is come. He wants him to follow that older, faithful example. I've been in situations where the young preacher, well, that old preacher, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I have sat in meetings with preachers, and you'll have some young preachers, and sometimes they won't consider what an older brother has written, what he's preached on, his understanding of Bible passages. Well, those old men, they don't know anything. And then they go off and they'll take themselves away, or they'll take the church away with them. We're not talking about the fact that all older people are right. There's a completely different lesson. For example, Solomon, when he was older, he left the Lord. That's a completely different lesson. But we're talking in general principles here, that in general, these are men and women who we need to be seeking their counsel. We don't need to just get something in our mind and run with it. We need to be talking with others and getting their judgment on things. What about elders that are actually in the church, those who are ordained as elders? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We don't want to follow the same path as Rehoboam. I don't want the old guys. We want to make wise choices and decisions with our family and our lives, the local church, our marriage, whom we are going to marry, things like that. We don't want to follow that path where the storm comes later, the divided kingdom comes later, and just a lot of heartache and sin. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, remember them that had the rule over you, men that spake unto you the word of God, and consider the issue of their life, imitate their faith. Then verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Look, these are men that are always at services. They're always helping out. They're always serving. Imitate their faith. We're not going to turn to a weak member and build our lives around that. We're going to turn to those that we can imitate. And there have been older brethren in the church that we need to be talking to and imitating. And what would they counsel us on? What do they want? That's where it needs to be. Not just simply some little circle of influence that might be right around me at the moment. We've got to look at the bigger picture, and that's what Rehoboam didn't want to do. I don't want the bigger picture. I don't want something that's the opposite of what I want to hear. I just want to be circled by a little influence here and just get that on my mind, and that's all I want to do. Well, he took the kingdom down as a result of that. When I was younger, there would be times when I would go into a situation, and boy, I had it in my mind. I had it in my mind that this is the way it's going to be. And listen, we do have to humble ourselves. We have to back up. We have to slow down. We have to be willing to listen to some other things that take some patience. And there were times when I came out of that realizing, wow, I learned something on that. We've got to be willing to do that. My mind is made up. Don't confuse me with the facts, kind of a thing. We've got to be careful about that approach. And then last of all, he gave in to peer pressure. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He just went with those that had grown up with him. And even though it divided and split the kingdom and caused heartache and hurt, he just did what his friends told him to do. And we've had lessons on drugs this evening. We're going to talk about alcohol and some other kinds of things. And it doesn't matter if it destroys us down the road. I don't want to be thinking down the road, but I'm just being told one thing right now by my friends, and that's all I want to hear. And then the problems come later. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, bad company corrupts good morals. Sometimes family members will go out and get advice and counsel from people out in the world, and then they wonder why their lives are so messed up. I am all about, and I believe you are all about, trying to get all of us to heaven. We want to go to heaven. We want to serve God. We want to be faithful. We want to get to heaven. And if I were to counsel someone, it would be to that end. And if someone is to counsel me, hopefully it would be to that end. And if it's different than what I want to hear, then I need to hear it if it's going to help me get to heaven. He was not interested in the old people, the old ways. He wasn't interested in older, wiser counsel. And he just simply gave in to his peers around him. What he thought at the moment, he was happy with that. He was fine with that. But it caused problems down the road. Let's look at a few lessons on counsel and then we'll close this morning. Do you get counsel for things that you do? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11. Not just spiritual matters. What about financial matters? What about work? What about your job? What about where you're going to move? Where you're going to live? Do you get counsel? Typically, when we're younger, we don't want that. We just got it all made up. As we grow older, we see the value in getting judgment. And I see that the older I get. And I'm even talking about non-religious, non-church matters. The other day, I was talking with someone about mortgage matters. And I guarantee you, when I started that conversation, I thought, I pretty much got all of this figured out. After about 15 minutes, he mentioned some things, and I'm like, well, I didn't think about that. I valued that counsel, even though I thought I had it all figured out. And so I'm going to go down another track now so that I can be helped maybe another kind of way. I'm not just talking about spiritual matters. In all matters of life, do we get counsel? Do we get help? Look at chapter 11. Let's just look at the wisdom of this. Chapter 11. In verse 14, where no wise guidance is, the people falleth. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Let's get a second, third, fourth opinion before we just, you know, push something through. There's a lot of things in the scripture about this. Look at chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that is wise hearkeneth unto counsel. Get help. chapter 13 and verse 10. By pride cometh only contention, but with the well-advised, that is, someone who's going to get counsel and help, is wisdom. And there's just many more you can see on the chart. Chapter 15 and verse 22. Where there is no counsel, purposes are disappointed, and that's happened in my life. I'm sure it's happened in yours. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Something is going to be more successful in happening the right way and in a good way if we get some help with that. Chapter 19 and verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in the latter end. And that would have been helpful for Rehoboam. Chapter 20 and verse 5. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Do you know what that responsibility is? Look at the latter part of verse 5. That's me. When I'm sitting with someone who's giving me counsel, it's my responsibility to draw that out like deep water. Or I can just sit there, I don't want that. But if you'll sit there and draw it out and dig and talk it up, you know, that's what happened with me in that conversation the other day. I started thinking, well, you know, that's a good point. Tell me more about this. I'm trying to draw out the deep part. And when he got done, I'm like, wow, that is very good. I hadn't thought about that. It's not just in religious matters, but importantly so, of course, in religious matters. But not just counsel. Let's turn our attention now to some of these same Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verses 20 and 21. We've got to go to God's Word on spiritual things, of course. The Bible does not address certain kinds of areas of our life, but it addresses a lot. And we need to turn to it. Who do you turn to? Look at chapter 19, verses 20 and 21. Okay, so I'm hearing it, and I need to go get counsel. I need to talk with somebody else. But consider the source, brethren. Number one, is it a person in the world? No, they're in the church. Okay, is it a person in the church, but they're weak? And they really don't have a track record of faithfulness? You see, we still need to consider the source. Ultimately, we want to go to what is right in God's Word. In chapter 19 and verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in the latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of Jehovah, that shall stand. Ultimately, we want to follow God's Word. Do you remember Jesus, the prophecy of Jesus in Isaiah 9 and verse 6? He was called Wonderful Counselor. Prince of Peace, Mighty God. From a New Testament standpoint, we need to be getting our counsel from the New Testament, from Christ. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, Paul said, I shrank not from declaring the whole counsel of God. That's the New Testament gospel. There are some today in the Lord's church, well, that's the old way. We don't need to be, you know, getting that word. It's what I say and what I think and I feel. But Paul just simply preached the counsel of God. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, Jesus said, I counsel you to buy of me, you know, what it takes to come back and repent. In Psalm 1 and verse 1, the psalmist says, blessed is the man who will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So I'm not going to get, it's not just a matter of getting counsel, but I'm not going to get that from the world. I'm not going to get that from weak Christians who themselves need some help. We're going to go to God's Word. We're going to go to those that are older and wiser and for years have made the spiritual investment of trying their best to be faithful. We're going to go to them for our help in that various areas of our life. Well, the lesson is yours. Who are you listening to for advice? Who am I listening to for advice? We can learn from Rehoboam, this king who just was so bothered by the peer pressure around him that he gave into that. And he split and divided a kingdom over. Who are you listening to for your advice? And who are you following for your example? We're here to help everyone in the church. We want to help those who are weak. We want to help those who are struggling. We want to help all brethren to be faithful. I want you to help me. But in this matter, along the way, when we're trying to make decisions in this church and how to live and how to be right and how to live right in our marriage and in our family, turn to God's Word for your counsel. Turn to those who are applying God's Word, older and wiser brethren, to learn from and to gain knowledge from and advice from. Why did Paul say in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3 that the aged women be reverent in demeanor, not slanders, not enslaved to much wine, teachers of that which is good, that they may train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded and so forth. Why did he say that the older women are to do that? Why? Because of today's lesson, the older, wiser, mature, they've been through those things, where to live, jobs, marriage, children, they've been through all of that. And they are teachers of that which is good. Now, as a young person like Rehoboam, we can have pride and selfishness and arrogance and, I don't want the old people. Or we can humble ourselves and be greatly established by that, benefited by that. All of those Proverbs talk about how that the wise counsel helps us in the latter end, gives us prosperity, gives us that which is good. The verse says that our what we want will be established, you see. That's the positive thing that we want at the end of the day. But we've got to turn to the right source, the right person for that. And I hope that our lesson this morning has helped us along those lines. The counsel that I would give you this morning, if you have not repented and have been baptized, the counsel I would give you is to do that before it's everlasting too late. As an erring child of God, the counsel I would give you is the same that Peter gave us, Simon. Repent and pray. We preach the whole counsel of God here. And we try to practice the Word of God in our lives. We're here to help each other get to heaven. And along those lines, if you're subject to that invitation, and if we can counsel you and help you in any way in doing that, why won't you come as we stand and sing?